Hi everybody, it's Marlene again, Stories of the Supernatural, and I'm here at Fort Drum Cemetery. Okay, this is, I'm going to show you around a little bit. You can tell it's like a very rural cemetery in Central Florida. And again, think of it, Fort Drum. This is, you know, the origins of a lot of these locations are forts. You know, this is when areas were getting settled, and one of the first things that the government would do would be put a fort for soldiers and so forth. And they have some very interesting looking graves here, and I thought I'd stop in because this is a small, I'll probably put more information once I do the R-word research, a little bit more about Fort Drum, even though I've heard of Fort Drum all my life. Like I said, usually when you dig around a little bit, you find out a little bit more about the actual history of locations, besides the obvious, the Fort Drum part. Look at this grave, guys. This is such a unique grave site, okay? This is beautiful. I don't know, as far as I'm concerned, I think it's beautiful. It's the wooden cross with the barbed wire, and you got a cowboy there at the end, and you know, he's got the pebbles, and he's got, like, back here, they've got like a little boot back there, which I think, I'm telling you, this is a very rustic and very, oh my god, and it's even got like a little skull of a cow, a cattle skull. Let me see, and this is for John Braswell. He passed away in, wow, okay, 2003? Okay, I can't tell. All right, usually the feeling I get is that this was probably someone who didn't have really that much money, or the family didn't have that much money to get one of the, you know, etched tombstones. And, you know, that's the kind of marker that you get for, like, free. And they kind of did this on their own. And let me tell you something. Whoever did this, this basically homemade, family-made memorial, I think it's beautiful. But that's what I think of. Let's take a look here. Come on, let's look over here. Okay. This looks like this might be, I don't know. You know what? I guess a lot of people are doing, taking it upon themselves to do that, which is to make their own memorials. This looks like this might be a child's memorial, maybe even a little boy. You take Garrett Watson, yeah, 2016, which this seems to be a child that died, I don't know if immediately or like, but within the first year of life. And the thing about these memorials, though, which I have found when I've gone to older, is that they're very rustic, they're beautiful, and they're very personal, but they don't stand the test of time very well. So that's what I've found when I've gone to other cemeteries, which all you've got is a spot and nothing, and later on you find out that, you know, what they had done was something having to do with wood or things like this. Okay, now we've got here a Mary Lou Jolly. I like that name. Mary Lou passed away September 22nd of 1935. Yep. Okay. Let's see. Let's take a look over here. Hi. Hey, Joseph. Oh, my God. I love it. Joseph. We've got a picture of Joseph. Okay. And he passed away in 2005. So apparently the burials here are not only from, you know, from a, you know, way back, but you know, usually very recent. As a matter of fact, he's got a hole here. That probably it's a tortoise hole or something. One of those ground tortoises, you know, lives there. Let's see. Let's take a look over here. I'm gonna go over to the middle area because I find that usually the older graves are in the right at the entrance or in the middle part, and then as the graves go further out and outwards, back and outwards, it's newer. At least not all of them, but most of them. But anyway, see guys, I don't want to talk. Not looking at you guys because not you can't hear what I'm saying. But anyway. Let me see if my theory proves true. Died in 1980, passed away in 1945. Okay. Yeah, and it looks like these are all from the McLaughlin company. McLaughlin family.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. These are. This is the McLaughlin. And here we have this lady. Beautiful picture of her, Mary Ann McLaughlin. She passed away in 1938. Okay. So apparently, you know, some of her other family members that have passed on afterwards, they got buried out here as well. And Joanna, see that this is 1964. Yeah, this is, you could tell there's burials out here, but not that many, because you'll have somebody that passed away in 1936. By the way, this is another McLaughlin. I wonder if he's related to the other McLaughlins. He passed away in 1936, and he's buried right next to somebody that passed away in, you know, a lot of years later. See, you can tell we also got some veterans out here. Okay, let me see. And we've got a family plot over here. Let's see. And usually that's your first indicator when you see these. You can tell this is a recent family plot because they've even got granite dividers. And this is, looks like it's for the Holmes family, H-O-L-M-E-S. We've got Marion, passed away in 1924. Born 1908, died in 1924. 16 years old. But yeah, this is the Holmes family plot. This is your older, this is your, you know, the older part. I can tell already. We're going to look at some of, you can tell just by the tombstones there. A lot of them, you can't read them anymore. Yeah, let me see. Yeah, we have another Holmes. He was a veteran of World War II. And he passed away in 1957. So yeah, it looks like the Holmes have stayed in this part of the Florida because, or at least they've come back to get buried here. Yeah, see what I mean? Look at this. This is like a really old burial. And you know what? You can hardly, James, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that is so faded. That tells you when you've got stone, tombstone like that, where it's just, you cannot read it. And then you've got stuff like this one. JPA. Okay. Which is, here we have another one. This is really interesting. Julia Anderson. She faltered by the wayside and the angels took her home. Okay. 1860 to 1922. Okay. She was born right before the Civil War. Okay, she saw the turn of the century. Died that old, but same thing here. I can't make out this one, but I believe it's also another Anderson. You know, some of these markers, as you could tell, they're like, they were very, you know, they were very basic, even for the time period when they weren't really, by the way, this is a very quiet and scenic, this one I can't make out, but it's, you could tell it fell down from the pedestal that it was on. Okay, and yeah, it looks like somebody just propped it up there. That was nice. That thing weighs a lot, you could tell. Okay, let me see. In a minute, I'm going to go and get my little mini ovulus. I just left it in the car so we could pick anything up. Just out of curiosity. As a matter of fact, you know what? I got the little tingle, so I'm going to, hold on a minute, guys. Let me go get that mini ovulus.
Hi, everybody. Before I move on to the second part of the video where I'm using my mini ovulus, I thought I'd give you a little bit of history about Fort Drum, or the ghost town that is Fort Drum. It was established during the Seminole Wars, and it was built in the 1840s, and it was abandoned soon after. But that was just the beginning. First of all, it was located at the crossroads of what's called Old Wire Road and Winterset. All right. And usually I found that on the sites of these forts where people, the frontiers town would come in, where settlers would come in, even if, like in this case, the fort was abandoned, all right, which as a matter of fact, there's little evidence now left of where the fort once stood. So of course, like I said, that was during the 1840s because there was a series of wars called the Seminole Wars here in Central Florida. So following the close of the Civil War in 1865, pioneers began to view the area as a fine cattle range. And one of the founding members was a gentleman by the name of Henry Parker, okay, who opened a store and a trading post attached to the side of his log cabin home. And the nearby Seminole Indians were some of Parker's regular customers, and they traded alligator, deer, and otter hides for guns, ammunition, and groceries. And you see this type of pioneer spirit played out across America in different frontiers town. Now, despite the Seminole Wars, like I said, of the prior years, there were many Native Americans who were friends of the pioneers and who made Henry Parker's store their source of supplies. One of them was an Indian by the name of Henry Parker and his squaw Polly Parker. Now, just so that you can get an idea of the frontier type of atmosphere or daily living that was part and parcel of living at this time in this part of Central Florida, she was captured by the army in a community close by there called East Poga, and she and 30 other Seminoles were put on board a steamboat headed over to the Arkansas Territory. She's a smart lady, though. When the boat stopped at St. Mark's for fuel, she escaped along with five others. Now, what they did was they hid by the day and traveled by night, and they made their way back to the Okeechobee area because this area is not too far from Okeechobee Lake. And as a matter of fact, her daughter, Lucy Tiger, assisted greatly in relating the early history of the Seminoles. And I found in my research of this area that a lot of these founding families, their descendants, have stayed in the area. They haven't moved away. Now, again, Parker, along with other pioneers, can be found in Fort Drum in the cemetery. And I think something that's really interesting that I had to note was, believe it or not, Fort Drum or that area is the only known locale for crystal-bearing fossil shells. Okay, and this had to do where at one time the level of Lake Okeechobee, you know, of course we're talking Pleistocene age, it contributed, you know, where water was over what's now dry land, and it aided in producing these fossil shells, which can only be found in this area of Fort Drum. Now, with the completion in 1914 of the Kissimmee Valley Extension, the Florida East Coast Railroad brought changes to the area. Now, they built a small depot over there in Fort Drum, as well as one to the north named Osawa and south of it called Hilolo. All right. The reason why I mention this is, as again, the R word, as I do my research, I find that the East Coast Railway, the Florida East Coast Railway, which Henry Flagler was involved with, this is really what aided in the expansion of all these small communities, whether because it helped ship in products and supplies and it helped them also transport their goods, but it aided a lot in the development everywhere it went because it came all the way from North Central Florida all the way down. At one point, it even went into the Florida Keys. Now, this specific cemetery, the Fort Drum Cemetery, covers about 8 acres with 381 interments. And they range in dates from 1876 to current day. Of course, 1870s being, you know, when the earliest pioneer families came to stay there. One of the legends, you know, besides being a cemetery and interesting, one of the legends I had heard about this cemetery is that there was supposedly a witch buried there and that Satanists would go out and perform dark rituals. So the people in the area unmarked her grave. I found very little reference for this, so I really don't know if there's any reality to it or if this is just an urban myth. And as far as being an unmarked grave, there are so many graves there that it's not that they're unmarked, it's just that time has faded away. So it's really difficult to determine, was this just the elements or did somebody unmark a grave purposely? Hard to say. When I walked around, to be honest with you, I didn't see any weird offerings or objects around that area. That doesn't mean it didn't happen, okay? But let me go ahead and let you view the second part, which is when I pull out my ovulus. And I think you're going to find that some of the words that were coming across were really, really eerie. So sit tight and listen to this.
All right, I'm panning around so you can see that this is very scenic, very rural, and very, very calm and beautiful little graveyard here in Central Florida called Fort Drum. So never fear, Marlene is here. So I just wanted to go ahead and take a look at a couple of other truck. Okay, that makes sense, and I'm going to tell you why. Number one, out here in this area, everybody drives a truck. Plus, especially on this highway that runs like maybe less than a quarter of a mile from here, is a main highway that truckers use it all the time. And I mean, it's historically been used by to move stuff back and forth, but even now you come down that highway and it's constantly, you know, it's a trucking route. Okay, so that truck part, it does absolutely make sense that I would be hearing it here, because for all I know, I've got somebody that really liked this truck, or I've even got a trucker that was buried out here. And like I said, I don't really ask direct questions because it's not an on-demand thing. Sometimes I just carry on my conversation looking at stuff, and they'll put in their words as they can. Okay, because sometimes, you know, from the other side, they just can't produce it at the very moment that you ask that question. So I think that this method, I've had really good results with it, so I'm going to keep doing it, which is, let's keep looking at a couple more graves and see if anybody else wants to put forth their two cents worth. Let me see, I'm going to go back over here, which is the older part. Oh, and by the way, look at this. This is a, you can tell this is an old vaulted. It's beautiful. It's an oak tree with some Spanish moss hanging over it. I mean, you could tell that this is really, I'm going to tell you something. This must be mighty spooky at night, okay? You come out here on a moonlit night, especially this, with under this tree with all this Spanish moss. It's like, oh, yeah, baby. Yeah. Okay, and you could tell that I don't see any type of names. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see. Whatever was here has been broken off. And I've got here her trials are ended. She rests above. Okay. Who the she is? I mean, it looks like the rest of this. Okay. Oh. Well, yeah, look at this. This is a Martha Smith Swain. Born 1830, passed away 1885. Yeah, this is what I thought. This is really an old burial site. Okay. Yes, this is sure enough. And as you can tell, this brick that they use, that it's, that's incredible. It's that this vault is well over what, like 140 years old, and it's still there. Let's see. Let's keep on going over here. Like I said, I'm going to come back to these older graves. Unfortunately, some of them you can't. This person was born in 1887. I can't. You know what? I think it's the Swain family. I believe. Yeah. It's the Swain family, which is the same family as this lady. Era Swain, born February 27th, 1889. Died 2.5 years, so this is a child's grave. Passed away, but then in like either 1891 or 1892. Aerith, second name Swain. All right, which unfortunately in those times, infant and child mortality was really high. You know, kids could die from a lot of different diseases. I hear there were outbreaks of yellow fever, besides all the other stuff. So yeah, unfortunately. And I have a feeling that other one over here is also a Swain family. I have a feeling that this is like 4.5 years old. Nettie Swain, born 1887. Okay, these, for all we know, these might be brother, I think these might have been twin children. They're both born on the same date, and it looks like they were both born on this, I mean, born in the same year and died in the same year, so either it was two children, siblings born, one at the beginning of the year, one at the end of the year, they both died at the same time. Germany. Interesting. Okay, let's see. I know I got some World War II vets out here, but let's see. But anyway, I bet you that these were siblings, or at the very least twins. These were twin children. But they both are marked on here that they died at 2.5 years of age. Okay. Let's see. Come on. Hopefully I can find somebody else over here. Like I said, I want to turn my back on to you guys, because if not, you can't hear anything. The microphone on this camera is not that great. Thank God it's not windy or I don't got a lot of noise. As a matter of fact, we're the only ones out here. Isn't that great? Okay, let's see. Some of these are just like, you know, these were, I think back then, this was like the barest, these stone little glyphs that whatever was on there, I think sometimes all they would do sometimes is just put the person's initial. Okay, those are, you know, those are long gone. And now, you know, we also have the later ones, which is where they do the PVC cross.
Okay,
and like I said, it's, you know, it's understandable, because nowadays, let me tell you something, these gravestone monuments, even the most basic ones, can be very, very costly. Very costly. Let's see. This one, which is one of these vaults. Let's see, whatever was on here, it has long since obliterated. Okay. You have to understand also, a lot of people think, you know, a lot of times when they would put these, what's really interesting is you could tell, it's got those handles on here, you know, so it could be lifted up. And sometimes I think they did that with the idea of interment, or have to maybe put another body in there for another family member. But believe it or not, a lot of times, especially these older graves, that they would put these long, basically vaults on top of the, so that animals wouldn't dig it up, you know. And some of these areas, especially depending on how far back we're talking, you know, sometimes they weren't embalmers, or they were really far away. And let me tell you something, there's nothing like Florida heat and insects to make you want to put your deceased whoever in the ground quick. And, you know, they don't do all the things that nowadays they do in modern day cemeteries, like those cement vaults in the ground. So a lot of times the families would put that on there so the remains of their loved ones wouldn't be dug up by animals, because even now you can tell there's out here, you've got animals. So can you imagine 30, 40, 60, 100 years ago? You know? Okay. Let's see if we got over here. You know what? There's that interesting one over there in the corner. I mean, let's go look at that one. See, and, you know, I wonder if this one, this got his Confederate flag up. And yeah, his name is, check it out, Henry. His name is Henry.
Nice.
Henry Parker, born April 15th, 1832, died March 3rd of 1908. Okay. So yeah, Henry, if I've got that Confederate flag, I don't know, but chances are that when the Civil War broke out, he was 20 something or 30 years old. So chances are that, yeah, maybe he did serve in the Civil War. Okay, this one again. Here's another one. I can't make out. It says born something 1869. Math. Okay. Died 1876. We're talking here, a 7-year-old child. I can't make out what the name is. It's just that it's really overgrown. Math. That one, I don't know what to put in that one. And you know what? It wouldn't be the first time, though, that I do get words, names, whatever, in the middle of Minneapolis. And at that moment, I'm like, huh? But then later on, it comes together, you know. Let's see. And I don't want to turn my back on you guys. Let's see. Yeah, let's just see the bees over here in the corner. I'm really very interested in... Okay. This looks like this is a child's grave. Okay, yeah. And some of these are... This was Sally Watford. Born 1950, died 1998, but no. This is rather unusual. Now, I think they're... Either we have two graves, because we have Sally. She was 38 years old, and then something nearing the 1947 Sally. I don't know if this is two people or one person. Okay. But yeah, you could tell that the, again, this memorial that they did up there, that was like hand carved into the cement. She seems very well loved. Okay. Very well loved. So let's see. Let's take one more little run, and then we're on our way to our another adventure, which is I'm gonna go to a ghost town and see what we can pick up with. Again, I don't know what this is. It's like a, some of these things are left over from, you know, things that broke apart, fell apart, you know, things like that. It's overall, it's very peaceful so far. Now, again, this wouldn't be the first time that I've gone to a cemetery. Homework. Let me tell you something. That math and the homework part, that's too coincidental. Okay, that is too coincidental. And like I said, yeah, we might have maybe a younger spirit here. Like I said, even though a lot of these over here that we were looking at are the older graves, we do have more modern burials. Because that math homework, back to back, that's... a little bit unusual. It's almost just like what does most kids, not really, are too, at least I was, happy about math homework. You know, it almost seems like the type of thing that, like that I don't know. When it comes to some of the things with the ovulus, I don't believe so much in the coincidence of things, or the coincidence of how things are come about. So let's see if, okay, I'll tell you what. If whoever is putting out these words for math homework, help me find your grave if I can. Let's see. That's if you're buried here. And again, I want to clarify this. A lot of people think that whenever you get words or whatever on the ovuluses, they're only going to be, you know, for the people that are buried here, but not really. If you have a discarnate soul, which is aware that you're trying to communicate, like you're in a place like this and you've got an ovulus or whatever it is that you've got going on, and they kind of like migrate over here trying to make themselves known. So a lot of times people make the mistake of thinking, oh, you know, it's got to be here. Not necessarily. It's not always there. Okay, so let's see. Let's see if math homework, you know, messenger, you know, come forward. Let's see. And I said, yeah, see, we have a burial here as recent as 2014. Okay. So that thing about the math homework is a lot of people say, well, that doesn't sound that old-fashioned. Yeah, but we have recent burials here. You know, this is a remote. I mean, the community maybe is not that big around here where it's still open and it's still receiving burials even so many years later. I walk my way back to the car, so I hope shower. Okay, that's definitely a modern ghost. Okay, a shower. You trying to tell me you need a shower? You need a shower? Come on, let me take a look at this. This is wow, these are really old. And the placards that were here, those are gone. So this leads me to believe that this is a very, very old burial. These two right here probably, let me see, hold on. I've got got something inscribed here at the bottom. Peace. Okay, and rest. Probably rest. Yeah, rest in peace. Okay. So, but yeah, you could tell these are people either of the same family or died at the same time, and probably quite a while ago, because even the stone etchings have been totally erased. And here we've got a gravestone that basically is propped up, but achieve. That, you know, see, that comes along with a, this is a something bad Owens, born in 1926. I can't tell when he died, but basically the tree had the last word when it comes to that gravesite. Okay. So yeah. You know what? I don't know. This is me thinking. It almost does sound like a kid, like a child. Math, homework, shower, achieve. You know, it's almost like all the things that kids are expected to do. Like, go take a shower so you can do your math homework so you can achieve. That doesn't sound too far-fetched, does it? I don't think it does. You know? So let's see. Yeah, these are some more of the Swain burials. Apparently, yeah, definitely this family is out here. Okay. So yeah, I guess they, yeah, we've got some more Swain. Yeah, we've got some more Swain out here. So yeah, that tells you. So anyway, let's wait, make one more sweep before we, oh, and this is another cloth monument. Okay. It's got one of those, Thomas Clark, born 1945, died 1982. Reply. 1945, 1982. All right, I'm going to take one last look. I've got a big monument over here. Josephina, my first name, Josephina. So far, I haven't found that on any of the graves I looked at. But that doesn't mean anything. Maybe I haven't found it yet. So this one is, yeah, again, just they're commemorating it with some panel. Okay, let me take a look at this last one up here. That was from that other Jolly Memorial. This is a son. Born in 1969, passed away in 1989. 20 years old.
30s.
30s? I wonder who's the one that's putting all this stuff out. 30s. What are you trying to tell me? Or whatever that was, I don't know. Okay, yeah, you could tell that it's for the Moore family. Isabel Klein, born 1893, died 1965, and Charles P., born in 1891, died in 1939, so they were married. You know, she outlived him like about 25, 26 years. So yeah, I knew that this was and here they, yeah, they put like this granite siding fence, little fence all around it. But anyway, guys, I'm going to take one last look over here on this side, and then I got to go. Let's see what happens. Come on. Thank you. but I don't see anything really that old over here. Now, even though this one, he passed away in 1939, so I guess they're kind of spread out all over the place. And, you know what, if I had the time, I would go from grave to grave and just figure out, you know, if I could get that corresponding Josephina name or any of the other stuff. But unfortunately, I just don't have the time right now. I'm trying to get to someplace before sundown. But I hope you guys really like this, because I think this is super interesting. Holy crap, here we are. It says Josephine. Here's Josephine. Josephina, born 1925, died 2000. I guess her husband wasn't passed away yet. Okay, they were married December 24th, 1949. Okay, I mean, I know a lot of people could go Josephine. Josephine is not really that common a name, folks. It isn't. It really isn't. Okay, that's interesting. Very interesting. Yes. Okay. All right, so guys, like I said, I wish I could stay out here and see if I could find who is putting around over all this information about, you know. About the master. But I just don't have the time right now. I just don't have the time. So, if you guys like it, let's see if I capture any EVPs also when I play it back. That happens sometimes. Talk to you guys later.